Welcome to your half hour to health with Dr. Mark DiBenedetto. And let me give you a little bit of background about myself before we get into 30 minutes of health talk. I have been a practicing chiropractor for 18 years. I practice with my wife, Dr. Tammy, in Mifflintown Family Chiropractic. I graduated from Rutgers University in 1985, went on to Palmer College of Chiropractic in Davenport, Iowa, where I graduated with cum laude honors and on the president's list. And together, over that past 18 years, we've treated over 5,000 patients. And what I would tell you today is if you listen to what I'm going to go over, it can change your life because it'll change the way you treat your health. And that's so important. Knowledge is power. The more you understand, the more you can take control of your life. And just for listening, I will have a limited special offer for all of you at the end of the show. So let's start with, what is the difference between the medical model and the chiropractic model? And to boil it down simply, the medical model bases things from outside in. In other words, they're going to use a pill outside the body, a medication, and put it in the body in hopes that that heals you. Or they perform surgery, something outside the body, that they go in the body to cure you. Chiropractically, we look at everything from inside out. We try to let the healing happen from above down, inside out. And what that means is we don't take anything out of the body. We certainly don't put anything in, but we adjust the spine and allow the body to heal itself. And we'll get into a little more of that later. But let's first just kind of go through what's in healthcare today and talk a little more about the medical model, because that's the one that people are more familiar with. Painkillers, things like Vicodin, Oxycontin, you know, those drugs, they're hot drugs that offer relief, but also are dangerous. There are two commonly prescribed medications that we see of patients that come into our office. Well, what do they actually do to help the problem? So in other words, if you had sciatica, something that's common in our office, or migraine headaches, and you take these medications, do they actually help those conditions? Do they help a slipped disc heal? Do they help arthritis? And the simple answer is no, they don't do anything for it. But they lower the pain tolerance. So in other words, if your body is saying, hey, we have a problem here, well, you take the medication. Well, it's if you keep increasing the pain medication to cover up that problem, the problem can actually get worse. And your body's not stupid. What it will do is keep intensifying the pain. So in other words, it's like, hey, I got a problem here. And you end up needing more medication. And if you think that can't happen to you, I have an article here, and it was about Rush Limbaugh. And whether you like Rush or not, that's not for my discussion. But what I found is that he was addicted to Oxycontin. And Oxycontin was one of the more addicting medications on the planet. And you'll see kids even take it from their parents. They'll break into pharmacies for that one because they actually get a high off of that one. But what I found even more interesting with that was that Rush Limbaugh had back surgery. That's why he took Oxycontin. And most people think that, you know, if you got a problem, they can go in and just cut it out. You know, is back surgery that easy? Well, I'll tell you what, I have a government study here, and it was published by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. And what they wanted to do was figure out how to help people with back problems, because it is the number one reason people miss work. And this is what they concluded, and I'm reading right from the report. Surgery has been found to be helpful in only 1 in 100 cases of low back problems. In some people, surgery can even cause more problems. This is especially true if your only symptom is back pain, which I find pretty funny. Why would you have back surgery if you don't have back pain? But that's what they said. And you know, you think about Rush, with all the money he makes, he could have flew anywhere on the planet for that surgery, but it didn't work for him. And to be honest, it doesn't work for the average person. I got this off the AP, the Associated Press, and what they said is in this country, we take more than 200,000 pounds of codeine, morphine, oxycodone, basically pain medications. That is enough to give more than 300 milligrams of painkillers to every person in this country. That is unbelievable. Then, you know, we look at Paxil, Prozac, Ritalin. These drugs are powerful pills, and those are what parents are now using to control kids' behavior. Now, I'm not saying that nobody needs pain medication or nobody needs Paxil, Prozac, or Ritalin, but yet I had a vice principal as a patient, and he had told me in his school that 7 out of 10 kids in the elementary class were on Ritalin. You know, and if you're not familiar with that, Ritalin is for hyperactivity attention deficit disorder. And some of the greatest minds that we know of today were diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity. Bill Gates from Microsoft. I saw an interview with him, and they asked him why he wouldn't take the medication. And he said simply, "I'm afraid it'll affect my thoughts, that all the good ideas I have would be gone." Albert Einstein was theorized to be attention deficit. Thomas Edison. You know, the names are endless for intelligent people. And the problem is, once we put kids on these medications, we don't know what the effects will be 20, 30 years from now. And literally, they could be on them that entire time. Basically, once they're prescribed, unless somebody takes them off, they've got them for life. The FDA presently puts the most severe warning you can put on a medication on ADHD medications. And I'm reading from an article, but the conditions that can be caused from these are serious cardiovascular problems, heart attack, stroke, hypertension, palpitations, arrhythmias. Those are all heart conditions. Doctors prescribe the drugs to about 2 million children and 1 million adults a month. Unbelievable. And then sometimes I think, am I the only one who thinks this is crazy? And I actually found an article that asked that exact question. And then he brings in the article two other questions. And what he says, what percentage of U.S. adults obtained at least one prescription drug? And the numbers were staggering, but roughly it was about 70%. And in fact, a whopping 71% of people in Kansas took at least one prescription drug. How about what percentage of U.S. children obtained at least one prescription drug? That was as high as 64% in Louisiana. Well, are they safe? I mean, if you take properly prescribed medications, are there any adverse reactions? Well, I was on the CNN website, and what they found was that adverse reactions to prescription and over-the-counter medications kill about 106,000 people a year, and injure an additional 2.1 million. Those numbers are huge. In fact, that makes it about the third leading cause of death in the United States behind heart disease and cancer. Now, if you include medical errors, which that doesn't, it can move up all the way to number one. You know, the pharmaceutical industry is very strong. They lobbied very hard many years ago to lobby directly to you. And if you ever thought about this, it doesn't even make sense. Why would they lobby to you? You can't write your own prescriptions, right? Well, what they thought was that the doctors weren't prescribing what they wanted them to, their own drug that they were selling. So when they lobby to you, and I'm looking right at a magazine advertisement, and it was about Vioxx. You'll look at this and you'll say, boy, I wonder if that'll work for me. So then when you go to the doctor, you'll say, hey, doc, you think that Vioxx would work for me? And it's very slick advertising. They actually have a picture. She looks like a teacher holding a pinata. There's about 5 or 6 kids around her smiling, looking at her. And it says, don't let arthritis pain keep you from teaching. And the print is huge. You can read it very clearly. They use different colors. But what most people don't do is turn that on the other side. And then what you see is very small black print that many of you probably couldn't read without a magnifying glass or holding it at arm's length away. And if you read on there, what's that? It's all the side effects. Heart disease, stroke, liver problems. You know, you can go on and on. High blood pressure, dizziness, nausea, stomach issues. And those are the things on the back. And what happens is we become desensitized. It's funny, you'll watch a TV ad and you'll see a horse running through a hayfield with a little butterfly flying next to it. And what that has to do with asthma, I'm not sure, but that's what they're advertising for. And my son will say, "Dad, here it comes," because I've trained them to listen to the other side of the story. And at the end of every drug ad, what do they have to put on the back side of it? Can cause heart disease, stroke, liver problems, blah, blah, blah. And the average person doesn't even hear it. In other words, we become what's called desensitized. We only hear what we want and we turn off the other side. I have another article that I have. It's called "The Brainwashing is Working." What the pharmaceutical industry does right now is they spend $30 billion a year and growing to influence the American people. That's more than the annual budget expenditure by all but 10 states in the U.S. Drug companies can buy entire countries, but instead they spend it to influence the American people. Now let's talk about antibiotics. This time of year, people getting sick and, you know, kids and adults both being put on antibiotics. And we first have to understand how they work. You know, do antibiotics work on a viral problem or a bacterial problem? In fact, most people don't really know the answer to that question, but you should. It's critical. And the answer is a bacterial problem. They do nothing for a virus. And in fact, the swine flu is a virus. The majority of sicknesses, ear infections, are viruses. So why would we ever take an antibiotic? I'm not sure, you know, for that type of problem. Antibio, when you break it up, means anti-life. It strips the flora of the colon. You know, you ask poor ladies what happens to them when they take an antibiotic. Many of them end up with yeast infections. Well, let's break this down. What do we do in the United States? Well, for ear infections, for example, one of the most common reasons you bring a child in to the doctor's office. Well, what we know is this. They've tested this, University of Virginia Health Systems, and 81% got better whether they took the sugar pill or the antibiotic in the same amount of time. So we're drugging all the kids to help one or two. The RAND Corporation did the same thing. They studied, do antibiotics work on ear infections? And what they found is 80% recover in 1 to 7 days, whether they have the antibiotic or not, or if they take the sugar pill. And this one was more interesting because right now in the United States, there's a huge debate, which I would love to spend the whole half hour on what we should do with healthcare. And I would be the first to agree it needs a major overhaul. What the overhaul should be would be the real decision. But this is what they concluded, the RAND Corporation. The Evidence-Based Practice Center estimates that there's over 5 million episodes of acute otitis media every year. That means ear infection in the United States. We spend $3 billion treating ear infections with antibiotics. I mean, we want to solve healthcare and we're spending $3 billion on something that doesn't need it. That's in contrast to just about every other country. They use in this example the U.S. and the Netherlands. In the United States, we have a 25 to 40% antibiotic resistance because we use the antibiotics at the wrong time and then the bugs get stronger. In countries like the Netherlands, where they do what's called watchful waiting, in other words, they'll wait for 1 or 2 days to see if the ear infection gets worse or if it's improving before they would even think about prescribing an antibiotic, well, they have less than 1% antibiotic resistance. Then we know this. This is the newest research coming out, and it's entitled "Childhood Ear Infections Predict Asthma." Well, how can that be? Well, children with a history of ear infections were 57% more likely than other children to be diagnosed with asthma. If you've never heard that, I have about 15 articles saying the same thing. This was published WebMD. And what it says, evidence continues to build for the so-called hygiene hypothesis as the latest study shows that babies treated with antibiotics during the first 6 months of life may be an increased risk for developing allergies and asthma during their childhood. Again, WebMD. I downloaded this one off foxnews.com. It says antibiotics may double babies' asthma risk later. First paragraph, babies treated with even one course of antibiotics during their first year of life may have twice the risk of developing asthma later in childhood as unexpected babies, an analysis of past research shows. So with that, we have to realize that there is a better way. See, the chiropractic model is very different. We don't believe in the outside in. And when you look at putting man-made drugs in a God-made body, there's always going to be a side effect. It doesn't work. They're synthetic. And it doesn't mean that they don't have a good effect, because they do. And I'm not telling you for one instance not to take your medication. But what I want you to understand is that there is another way. And when you look at chiropractic, we believe in one thing, and that's the power that made the body heals the body. Well, what does that mean? Well, we were all born with an innate intelligence. What does innate mean? Well, it means inborn, and it's the body's ability to know what it needs to do to function. So if I asked you a simple question, like what keeps your blood pressure 120 over 80? What keeps your heart beating 72 times a minute? What keeps your lungs breathing 12 to 14 times a minute? You might say, I don't know, it just does. Well, the answer is, that's your innate intelligence flowing through your nervous system. It's one of our gifts from God from the day we were born. If you cut my arm with a knife and put a Band-Aid on it, it's not the Band-Aid that does the healing. Ultimately, it's you. You have to realize that there's every muscle, organ, tissue, and cell in your body is controlled by your nervous system. Your nervous system is so important. It's literally the first system that develops in the womb, because all the other systems need it to develop. The problem is your nervous system can be interfered with. So as your brain is sending those electrical impulses down your spinal cord, literally at 270 miles an hour, that's called the speed of life, by the way, it can be interfered with by one vertebra shifting out of position. That condition is called a subluxation. And how much pressure does it take to pinch a nerve? Literally 1 gram, less than the weight of a dime, can drop you to your knees in pain or cause other health problems. So think about that. That's how people just bend down to tie their shoes and all of a sudden they don't get back up because they feel that severe pain. They're towel drying their hair. The majority of my patients who come in for pain, they didn't lift something heavy. In fact, the majority of them weren't in an accident. In fact, they'll be the first to tell me, I don't know what I did, doc. I just woke up this way. And they can't physically move. But here's the bigger problem. Less than 10% of your nerves perceive pain. So that means that 90% of your nervous system has more important things to do. In other words, running the 70 trillion cells in your body. But yet, can be interfered with by a gram of weight, less than the weight of a dime. That is the problem. And if you ever wanted to look at maybe the big difference between the medical model and the chiropractic model, let me give you this example. If you had a tree, and on that tree you saw all the leaves falling off it, but it wasn't fall, it was an inside tree. And you look at that, the medical model might be, let's pick up the leaves and see what's wrong with them and try to get them back on the tree. So they're picking up the leaves, putting them on the tree. Whether they try to fasten them, glue them, adhesive them. Yeah, that just doesn't make sense to me. What a chiropractic does is look at the cause on why the leaves would fall off. So we're not going to put a liniment on the leaf. What we're going to do is say, what does the tree need for life? It needs proper water. It needs proper soil. It needs sunlight. When you give it the things, the essentials for life, it can come back. And your body is the same way. That's why we don't want to put anything in, and we certainly don't want to take anything out. But we want to give your body what it needs to do to function. And that's where chiropractic fits in. By releasing and correcting those subluxations that cause nerve stress, literally, it's allowing your innate intelligence to heal you. Because ultimately, you're the only one that can do that. I want you to think of going to the chiropractor like anything else, healthy for your body. For example, if I asked you, when should you stop eating right? Well, the answer is, well, never, Dr. Mark. You should always eat right. And if I asked you, you know, when should you stop exercising? Well, you should always exercise routinely. That's what keeps you healthy. And it's the same thing with chiropractic. When you go to a chiropractor, sometimes people say, oh, you have to go forever. That is not true. The question should be, should you go forever? And then the answer is simply yes. Because once you stop those healthy habits, they're no longer good for you. For example, if you ate really good for 5 months and you lost 20 pounds, and then you stop eating good, what happens? That's right, you gain all the weight back. If you exercise and get really strong and really fit and your lungs are expanding and you feel so much healthier, but then you stop exercising, what happens? Your body will slowly transform back. The adage in science is use it or lose it. You need to keep that body healthy. It loves to exercise. And chiropractic's the same way. The minute you allow nerve stress to start building up, now you have problems. For example, if you have a pinched nerve that goes to your liver doesn't say, ow. You know, your stomach doesn't say, ow. You know, what it does is lead to dysfunction, which leads to disease. So when you go to the chiropractor, we're not trying to treat a particular problem, although we're very good at getting rid of neck pain and low back pain and sciatica and numbness and headaches. What we're doing are treating the subluxations that bring your body to a lower state of health. That is how chiropractic works. Every day in our office, we have patients who come in and they have a variety of problems. And sometimes their only symptom is, I'm just tired. You know, I sleep 8-10 hours a day and I wake up tired. They're sore, they're stiff, they're stressed. Those are the people who need chiropractic more than anybody. And, you know, I'd like to just share a story. We have a testimonial book in my office, and patients will just write their experience with chiropractic. And when I read this one, I thought it would be great to share with other people. And this is what it says. Dear fellow patients, as of today, I have been coming to Dr. Mark for 7 weeks. That doesn't seem like a long time, but it didn't take long for me to realize that I should have come sooner. I had suffered from severe headaches for years, but the past year has been the worst. Pain had become a part of my day-to-day living. I began planning my day around how severe my headache was by 8 a.m. I work at a computer all day, which made most days unbearable. I complained repeatedly to my family doctor that I felt something was wrong with my neck, and I expected him to at least do some tests. All he did was prescribe Vicodin and told me it must be stress or work related. I felt sick all the time and began getting depressed. I'm sure Rick, my husband, will tell you that I wasn't a pleasant person to live or be around. I had just returned to work from another sick day when I ran into Dennis in the snack shop. He asked me how Rick and I were doing. I told him I'd be better if I didn't get headaches all the time. And Rick was suffering from back pain every day and could hardly walk. He told me about Dr. Mark and Dr. Tammy and how much they had helped him and his entire family. Rick and I made our first visit to Dr. Mark on September 29th. The first thing he did was took x-rays. I came to my first treatment the next day, but was not looking forward to it. I thought someone cracking my neck could only make the pain worse. I was halfway home before I even realized that my head wasn't hurting. Still skeptical, I figured it would be back in a while or by morning for sure. Didn't happen. It's now the 17th of November, and I haven't had a single headache since that first treatment. Dr. Mark truly enjoys helping people to be well. After our first treatment, he called our house to see how we were feeling. How many doctors do that these days? I think medicines are valuable for temporary treatment if needed, but should never be used to cover the symptoms of a real problem. Because of my bad habits over the years, I have contributed to a problem with my neck and back. If Dr. Mark is committed to helping me stay healthy, I need to make the same commitment to myself. I am grateful that I no longer need to take even an aspirin to live a pain-free life. Thank you, Dr. Mark and Dr. Tammy, for your commitment to your patients and the community. Sincerely, Sharon. See, these are the type of miracles that we see every day. And I know the power that made the body heals the body, and it's within you. And as I said when I started this whole talk, that I had a special for all of you just for listening. And what we did is we have opened up 10 new patient appointments. What that means is that the first 10 callers who call today, if you leave your name, your phone number, and you must say that you heard about us on WJUN Radio, you will get our entire new patient examination for $27. What does that normally cost? Well, first of all, that includes a comprehensive chiropractic examination, any necessary x-rays, a thermography scan, range of motion study, and posture check, which would normally cost $160, you'll be getting, if you call today and one of the first 10 callers, for $27. You would call 436-9017. That's 436-9017. 436-9017. You can also learn more about us on our website. That's MifflinTownChiro.com. MifflinTownChiro, C-H-I-R-O.com. Call today. You will probably get the most important checkup you have ever had in your life. Thanks for listening, and God bless. And I will be back with you in 2 weeks for your next Half Hour to Health.